A very good morning to you. If you're listening to us on 702 Breakfast, welcome to the program. We have a question to ask this morning. How is the war in the Middle East going to affect you? As the price of oil climbs steadily in the wake of the crisis, how much more are we likely to pay at the fuel pumps? More worryingly, the Straits of Hormuz now choked. Do we have enough reserves in South Africa? What happens if we run out? As you know, nearly a fifth of the world's oil supply passes through the narrow passage, and any interruption could send prices soaring. And what happens if we get a shortage? It's happened before. Another crisis in the same region led to shortages around the world. Might we then see a repeat of what happened in 1973? We're joined in the studio, and I'm pleased to tell you, he's come all the way, the CEO of the Automobile Association, who joins us now in the studio. And it's a real pleasure to have Bobby Ramagwede in the studio with us. Very good morning to you, and welcome to 702 Breakfast.
Morning, and morning to your listeners as well.
We're also joined by Tsidiso Makubela, who is from the Department of Mineral and Petroleum Resources, the Deputy Director General on the line. And both of you are going to take us through what we are faced with in South Africa. Tsidiso Makubela, thank you, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Bongani. Morning, Bobby, and 702 listeners.
Bobby, thank you so much. Bobby, I'll start with you. We've been keeping an eye on developments in terms of the war, but many South Africans may feel this is a conflict that has nothing to do with them. It's very, very far away. One of the things that geography has blessed us is the fact that we really have no part to play in all of this. It's not quite that simple, is it?
No, definitely not. Particularly when it comes to a resource that we don't produce locally and we have to source from abroad.
Tell me about the Straits of Hormuz and why that matters so much to the rest of the world.
As you intimated, that's a passage, a very narrow passage, in which a fair chunk of oil that moves globally passes through. So naturally, what you'd have is, if that is interrupted in any way, it would make it difficult for fuel to be transported. And when I say fuel, I mean crude oil to be transported to its various refining locations.
In South Africa, much of our fuel is imported. Refineries aren't quite what they used to be in South Africa. And so you're talking about crude oil passing through the Straits of Hormuz. What does it mean for us, particularly if we're not even refining that much of our own oil these days?
Okay, so you sort of intimated it earlier on. It would imply an inability to refine at a rate that matches our consumption rate. But key here is to ask ourselves the question, how long is this going to persist for? In addition to that, how quickly are we burning through our reserves?
So what does that mean? I mean, Donald Trump looks at this as a weeks-long campaign. He said 4 to 5 weeks. He even said that, in fact, they're far advanced in terms of their plans. They're ahead of their planning. He seems to think it's going to be over fairly quickly. The Iranians, for their part, have seen the leader they've elected. It doesn't seem they're going to give an inch on this, and this may drag on. War is not one of those things that you can set a timetable to, can you?
Unfortunately not. So the reality here, and I like to liken it to driving a car with a limited amount of fuel. The faster you drive, the faster you burn fuel. But if you plan correctly, not that we plan for war, but if you plan correctly, you can still arrive at your destination by adjusting how quickly you're driving later on. How this translates to this situation is, should we find some sort of reprieve or relief in terms of the conflict sooner rather than later, then you should not expect an increase or rather a shock in the fuel price going forward. Should it protract? Yes, there are grounds for concern, but that's further down the line.
Further down the line, Tsidiso Makubela, let me bring you into the conversation. Bobby has already mentioned the issue of our reserves, and I think all of this is around exactly what that picture looks like. Where are we sitting?
Well, thank you very much, Bongani. We're sitting pretty well at the moment in terms of crude oil reserves, because companies that operate refineries in South Africa had already, you know, had vessels sailing towards South Africa. So we are not too concerned about supply of crude oil at the moment. But I think the one thing that is beginning to concern us is the price.
They say hindsight is 2020 vision, Siddi. So you may remember, of course, in 2015, I think it was, we let go of 10 million barrels of our crude oil stocks at the princely sum of $29 a barrel. How much will we rue that day?
Well, the good news there, Bongani, is that that crude oil never left the tanks, and we're instructed by the minister that all of that crude oil, the title must revert to the state, and I'm glad to indicate that it did. We paid those traders what they had given us for the oil, and effectively we now own that crude oil in Sudan.
And how much has limited local refining capacity increased our vulnerability to these shocks in the global supply chain?
Well, I guess it has. There's no doubt about that. But the good thing about, you know, the oil companies operating in the country is that we have now diversified the supply of crude oil. We're looking at Nigeria being our biggest supplier, and that cushions us. Brazil and the US now have entered the market in terms of supply, so we are pretty much okay in as far as crude oil supply, but we still are exposed to Saudi Arabia somewhat, and that supply probably is going to be disrupted for a while. But I must indicate that in as far as crude, we think we are good until May at least, and we hope by then this conflict will be over.
So what's, I mean, you say May, if you were to translate that into days, what does that look like?
Look, we don't necessarily on crude oil want to talk days, but we would like to indicate that we don't even think we'll dip into our, you know, strategic stocks based on information that we've received from the refiners. And we would only then be able to, I mean, if there is a need in May, then we'll have that conversation then. But for now, I think on crude, we're covered. I think that the issue is the product. The products do come from the Middle East. This is now refined fuel. We have exposure a little bit to Kuwait and exposure to Saudi Arabia. But I think the biggest advantage that we have is that our refined products, they come from Oman, and Oman sits on the other side of the strait, which I think was a good decision from the importers.
We've talked about, Bobby mentioned planning. I mean, this is the kind of thing you absolutely just cannot plan for. If you look at all the forecasts that were made, for example, in the budget speech by the finance minister, none of this was factored in. We're hearing now from the Reserve Bank that this might affect any potential rate cuts that might have been envisaged. How do you plan for a situation like this?
Well, I guess there was always a view that the straits, you know, something at some point would happen. But I think we have an advantage in that in 2012, a decision was taken to try and, we're forced effectively to stop importing crude oil from Iran. And that basically did, help us in a way, because now we don't have exposure, zero exposure to Iran. So that's, you know, the planning then was that let's diversify. Fortunately, the refineries that we have, they take a lot of crude from West Africa, which is good for inter-Africa trade. And now I think they're beginning to look west towards the Brazils and the U.S. At price, I think is something, Bongani, that I think should concern all of us.
Right, I'll talk to you about pricing in just a moment, but let me bring back the CEO of the Automobile Association back into the conversation. Bobby Ramagwete, do the assurances you are hearing there from Tsitiso Makubela, do they satisfy you? I mean, many people listening to us will be thinking about, all right, he says we've got enough in terms of our reserves. We should be okay, right?
Yes, we should be. In fact, the diversification of source is what gives us most of the comfort. His comment on price is real. The concern there is how quickly it increases, but more importantly, the lag effect. When I say the lag effect, it's akin to adding milk to a cup of coffee. How quickly the color changes is a function of the lag in this particular instance. So we're of the view and the hope that price changes will not be so quick that the coffee changes color very quickly.
Might we see some adjustments because much of what we pay for fuel is also levies and taxes? Might we see some relief in terms of adjustments in that regard?
A clever central planner would look at the situation and think, okay, so I've got price shocks in the core product, and I'm probably going to experience some shocks in freight, insurance, cargo dues. These are the other components that make up the fuel price. The lever I have available to me, the stroke of a pen, is to adjust a levy to give relief and some form of reprieve to the consumer. So should this persist, I would almost encourage the state to consider their levies as a tool to give back some form of reprieve and allow for movement and consumption of fuel quite easily.
Tsitiso, you giveth and you taketh away. Might you give us some relief?
Well, the issue that is being raised by Bobby on the levies sits outside our control as the department. And, you know, this
conflict... Yes, it's a treasury decision, is it not?
It's a treasury decision. But again, it would be a parliamentary decision because the budget has just been passed and took into account the existing levies. So if there's a change there, that revenue that had been, penciled in effectively has to be covered somewhere.
So the computer says no.
Well, I guess, for one, the issue is that those discussions, will obviously take place, but the main thing is that the parliament has just passed the budget. So what do we do?
As things stand, the computer says no, I think is what I'm getting from you. Bobby, I'll let you have the last word on this. Should motorists, should road users, should citizens be worried?
Be concerned at the moment, but let's not panic just yet. Let's see how this plays out. There's a possibility that you'll have a shock in price, but it's not going to be a prolonged shock. In it being not a prolonged shock, you shouldn't experience a dramatic increase in prices. What I'm currently seeing in a lot of commentary is price increases to the tune of anything between 2 and 4 rand a litre. A lot needs to happen for us to get to that point. So let's not anchor really high price increases.
Yeah. Without being alarmist myself, how long was our initial lockdown in 2020? 15 days? We thought, it'll all be over. Let's hope this time it stays true. Tsitiso Makubela from the Department of Mineral and Petroleum Resources, the Deputy Director General there, and Bobby Ramagwete, the Chief Executive Officer of the Automobile Association.